So we are on Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav or Hey or Dalet. I don't know. It depends on how you divide it. I'm just gonna call it Vav because it's a different theme than the last one, even though in some of them they're chunked together. Okay. So here we go. Ready? Jumping right in. Rabbi Tzadok Omer. Rabbi Tzadok says, "Happy like the Omer, everybody." That being said, Rabbi Tzadok Omer. Rabbi Tzadok says, "Al tasem atara lihiskada behem. Do not make them." Assuming we mean Torah, right? Do you not make them a crown with which to make yourself great? Below kardom lachpor bahem, and not a shovel to dig with them. V'chach hayash Hillel Omer, and so too Hillel also said, the ishtamesh basaga chalaf, one who uses the crown will pass away, if you remember this, which I'm sure you all do. We learned this like 4 years ago in Midrash on campus, in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Okay, the Yishtamesh Besaga Chalav. It was one of the three things that Hillel said, all in Aramaic. Okay, Halamadita. Here you have learned. Kol hanehene midivrei Torah. Anybody who benefits from nehene, like benefits in like a it's like a physical
enjoys,
benefit, you know?
No?
Yeah, it's enjoyment. It's like a physical word, right? It's not like a enjoys it from divrei Torah. No tel chayav min ha'olam. Takes his life out of the world. Okay? So, nothing particularly, like, difficult in this Mishnah other than the Mishnah, right? Other than, like, what is this trying to tell us? Nothing, maybe, I mean, does anything seem, like, particularly disjoint that we have to start other than, like, okay, what, you know, other than what it sounds like it's telling us, what is it telling us and how is that relevant? Which is always the questions that we start and end with. Good, let's read it again. Okay, ready? One more time. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Tzadok says, Al ta'aseh matara lihisgada bahem. Don't make them a crown to make yourself great with. V'lo kardorm lachbor bahem. And don't make them a shovel to dig with. V'chach hayashav Hillel Omer. And so too said Hillel, the ishamish besaga chalef. Someone who uses the crown passes away. Ha'olamadita, from here you have learned, kol anehene mitzivar Torah notel chayav min olam. Anyone who benefits, who enjoys, like, nehene mi divrei Torah means that you are deriving benefit from something else. It doesn't mean that, like, you enjoy learning it, right? That's not the way that you would say that in Hebrew. It means that you're benefiting from something else. No tel chayav mina olav, takes his life out of the world. Okay? Good. So let's, before we even, like, dissect it or ask questions about it, let's learn Rabbeinu Yonah, and then we're going to go from there. Because, again, we always start with Rabbeinu Yonah. Chazdei Hashem. Chazdei Rabbeinu Yonah. We have his parish. Okay, so this seems to be talking about what? What would you wager is, like, the theme here?
Someone who's, like, using Torah, for, like, honor purposes.
Good. Very good, Shalom, right? Using Torah for your own purposes, and it seems to be that those purposes are correlated with honor, right? Good. Very good. Okay, so
which Mishnah is this again?
It's either Hey or Vav, depending on how you split it up.
How does it start again? What are the first?
Rabbi Tzadok Omer. Kol haneh al ta'aseh matara lihisgada behem. In my Rabbeinu Yonah print, it's Hey. It's still Hey, but it's like joined with the last one. In the Rav Hirsch print, it's actually Zion, because Rav Hirsch keeps splitting it according to like theme. So again, I don't know about the different splittings and which Mishnah it is, but I'm just splitting them based on, like, topic and Rav Hirsch, mostly. If Rav Hirsch puts them together. If no one splits them, I won't split them. But if Rav Hirsch does, then I'll go with that. Okay, good. So let's read Rabbeinu Yonah, and you tell me, and we'll work through it. And then we'll use other Mefarshim to, again, broaden our understanding of it. Here we go. Okay. Al ta'aseh atara lihisgada behem. Don't make them into a crown to make yourself great. Shelo ta'aseh divrei Torah ka'atara lihisgada ulhispayer behem ba'olam hazeh. Okay, don't use the Torah to make yourself great in this world. Hi, Machava Feldman. Welcome. Shezehu hana'as kavod. Because that is the benefit of kavod, right? That's enjoying kavod too much. Zulasi, except for, so here he's going to give a caveat. So again, his basic principle is exactly what we thought, just like Shalom had said. Don't benefit from the Torah. Don't use the Torah to benefit, to get kavod from it, right? To benefit in kavod. Zulasi, but here's a caveat. Im yechavein lechabed haTorah. If your intention is to give the Torah honor, ki ka'osin lo kavod ha-Torah mischabedes bazeh, because, like, let's say you're a prominent figure and they know that you know a lot of Torah, so when they give you honor, really they're giving the Torah honor. Hi, Chavi Seinfeld. Ha-Torah mischabedes bazeh. V'im kavanas ha-chacham lichvod ha-Torah. So if you're a chacham and your kavana is that the Torah gets honor, v'lo lechvodo, and not your own honor, believe of shalim, completely, mutar, then it's okay. Okay, so what is Rabbeinu Yonah, what did Rabbeinu Yonah just tell us in this parish that the Mishnah is about? Is it about chasing kavod? First, we thought it was about chasing kavod, right? No, you shouldn't. Then he said, no, okay, no, for sure. You know, it's really about hanas kavod. It's about how much you love kavod. But as long as you're not doing it for the kavod, but you're doing it for the Torah, then that's okay. So according to, so far in this parish, what is this Mishnah about? What is it telling you not to do?
Not to pretend to be like teaching Torah when it's really just like something you're going after. Like, I know there's like a couple of like pet peeve speakers who are like big Torah educators. And when I listen to them, it's just like all about them. And it's like, this isn't Torah.
Correct. Awesome. Good. So what's the major motivation behind, what's the current moral of the Mishnah? Is that your attitude towards what makes the difference?
I'm sort of lost. It's about like not getting your ego in the way, like making it about the Torah and not about yourself.
Right. Right? It's so far, again, we're gonna throw a wrench in this, about Sheva, like let's not go too deep into this and let's just keep reading on. But so far it seems like the theme and the major difference maker is the kavod, right? It's not that getting kavod is bad. It's that you caring about getting kavod is what's off, right? If you get kavod because you're not intending to get kavod for yourself, but you're intending to get kavod for the Torah, then that's okay. So it's not necessarily like, right, first Rabbeinu Yonah says, hanas kavod, enjoying kavod is bad. But then he says, here's the caveat. No, it's not really that enjoying kavod is always bad. It's that if you're enjoying kavod for yourself, that's bad. But if you're enjoying kavod for the sake of the Torah, that's okay. Okay? So again, he's going to go on, he's going to switch this up. So like, let's not, we don't even have to, you know, try too hard to get exactly his tom on that. Okay? V'lo kurdam lach borbehem. Right? Neither, those are the two things that Rabbi Tzedok says. Don't make them a crown to make yourself great, and don't make them a shovel to dig with. So what is the shovel to dig with? He says this, Shalo yehana behem hanas mamo. You should neither get kavod, like we said before, with the atara, the crown, nor should you get mamo, nor should you get money from your learning of Torah, from your involvement in Torah. She'ein lehanos behem kol ikar, because you should not enjoy them at all. You should not derive any what's called secondary benefit from learning Torah. Okay, Rashi says this. Lo kordam she'adam osa b'malacha. Right, it's a metaphor. The Rabbi Tzedok gives us two metaphors. Don't make the Torah a crown, and don't make the Torah a shovel. So what does he mean when he says don't make the Torah a crown and don't make the Torah a shovel? Don't make the Torah a crown that you're trying to get kavod. You're trying to be greater than everyone else because of your Torah. And don't make the Torah a shovel. A shovel is something that you do your work with. So don't make the Torah a tool by which you get paid, right? A tool by which other people give you money. Don't have Torah be either of those things to you. So I was just listening in one of my coaching classes, which was interesting. They talk about like a secondary benefit. She used that word, which I thought was like interesting. The person who was teaching the course, where she talks about like, you know, if let's say somebody's stuck in a certain behavior, like let's say she said that she was like dating coaching somebody and they kept like, you know, rejecting everybody that they went on dates with. So she said to her eventually, you know, what's the secondary benefit that you're getting from this rejection? And the person's like, huh? And she's like, what is the benefit that you're getting from doing this thing that you're doing? And she was like, oh, I realized like in the end, the person was avoiding her own rejection, right? The secondary benefit that she was getting was that she was avoiding rejection by being the first person to reject. So in the same way, right? Like the secondary benefit, don't have any secondary benefits from Torah. Torah should be about learning Torah. If you're also making money or you're also getting kavod from it, right? Those secondary benefits in a certain way, Rabbi Tzedok is saying is like off limits. So again, this broadens our understanding of the Mishnah because it's not only about kavod. It's not about our attitude towards kavod. It's about our attitudes towards Torah. It's not about you should avoid kavod. It's about you should avoid having a second, you should avoid aiming for a benefit to you for your own greatness from learning Torah. Okay, that's what we have in Rabbeinu Yonah so far. And then he quotes Hillel, like the Mishnah does, and then he goes on to the second part of the Mishnah, to the last part of the Mishnah. Halamadata. This is interesting, again, it's an interesting formulation of the Mishnah, because the Halamadata seems to be the voice of Rebbe, right? The person who compiled the Mishnah. It seems to be that for some reason in this Mishnah, we summarize it, right? The Halamadata is like telling you what we just told you. So Rabbi Tzedek gives these two metaphors. We bring in the metaphor of Hillel, and then we say, by the way, here's the point. Right? Here's the point of the Mishnah. So again, I'm not sure exactly why it is that this Mishnah does it, but okay, it tells us very explicitly what's the moral of the story. Halamadata, what have we just taught you, right? What have you gone out learning from these metaphors that this Mishnah just provided for you? Kol hanane midivra Torah. Anybody who benefits from the words of Torah, notel chayav mina ulam, takes his life out of the world. Okay, so that's a pretty intense thing to say. Now, tell me for a second, we've been learning Rabbeinu Yonah for a long time, and we've been learning Rav Hirsch and other Rishonim and other Acharonim for a long time. What do you expect Rabbeinu Yonah's parish on this is going to be when we say, Notel Chayav Min Ha'olam? What do you expect Rabbeinu Yonah to say? And we'll check our expectations, we'll check our assumptions. What's he going to say about Notel Chayav Min Ha'olam? He takes his life out of the world. Which world is he talking about? According to Rabbeinu Yonah. Two choices, Olam Haza or Olam Haba. How is Rabbeinu Yonah going to pay us this? Okay, let me ask you a different question. Rav Hirsch. How is Rav Hirsch going to pay us this? No tel chayav mina olam. He takes his life out of the world. Olam haza or olam haba? Is this literal or is this like a spiritual world?
Spiritual.
Spiritual world. Interesting. Okay, good. So I would say the opposite. Okay, my expectations, having read Rabbeinu Yonah and having read Rav Hirsch, is that Rabbeinu Yonah would say Olam Haba, and Rav Hirsch would say Olam Haza. Okay, that was my expectation when I read that. Most of us, and again, which is just, I'm not commenting on anything other than patterns that we've uncovered, right? But the Rishonim will tend to explain a reference to Chayav Min Ha'olam, that kind of general reference, the life of the world, as referencing Olam Haba, especially if it's talking about Schar V'Onesh. The more contemporary perushim, and us also, I think resonates with us a little bit more, tend to explain that in a very earthy, grounded kind of way. What do you mean, no tel chayav min olam? Okay, so we're going to see that that's actually the pattern that they follow, and we'll discuss it a little bit more. Okay? Good, but it could be that, again, we're wrong. We're just expectations. That was my assumption. Different people have different assumptions. And that's cool. Okay, ready, here we go. No tel chayav min olam. Klomar, min olam haba. Da-da-da. Right away he says that. From Olam Haba. He goes on. Hare, Rabbi Tarfon. In his parish, he brings like a story in the Gemara. Okay? You tell me what use this story serves for Rabbeinu Yonah. Why does Rabbeinu Yonah bring this story? Shehare, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon. Who's Rabbi Tarfon? Who recognizes that name? We're all like, oh, me.
Don't we talk about him in the Haggadah?
We did. We talked about him in the Haggadah. Good. When did we talk about him? Who was he? Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Hayim Asuvim B'Bnei Brak. Good. So we just saw Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon was actually the Rebbe of that other group. So he was the Rebbe of that group. Okay. So here's a story about Rabbi Tarfon. Ready? Rabbi Tarfon. Shekit. Fasuhu lahashlicho benahar, when they caught him to throw him into a river. So again, this is obviously partway through a story. So I looked up the rest of the story, which is in Nedarim 62a, Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, so Rabbi Tarfon was eating figs in someone's field at the time when most of the knives have been set aside. So again, I don't really know the whole context of this Gemara. Basically, Rabbi Tarfon was eating figs in someone else's field. Obviously, that was okay. Obviously, the person whose figs he was eating thought it wasn't okay. So he made an assumption, which is that Rabbi Tarfon, this guy eating figs in his field, was like some sort of like highway, you know, listim, some sort of like bandit, like, you know, lowlife. So he puts Rabbi Tarfon into a sack, lifts him up, and carries him over to a river to throw him into the river. Okay? What'd you say?
That's so bizarre.
So bizarre, right? So he's about to basically kill Rabbi Tarfon by throwing him into a river, assuming that he was a lowlife. So here's the story, okay? Kishefasuhu lahashlecho benahar, when he caught him to throw him into the river. Kisever shehud listim, he thought that he was like a bandit, like a lowlife. Velo amar ella, and Rabbi Tarfon from the sack screams this. Oy lo le Tarfon shezehorgo. Oy Tarfon, this dude is about to kill you. And it sounds like shezeh horgo means that the guy of the field was not the most, distinguished person himself, right? So that's what Rabbi Tarfon says. So what happens? V'cheivan shehikir bo shehu Rabbi Tarfon. So when he realizes that the person that he caught in his sack was Rabbi Tarfon and not somebody else, what does he do? He nicho uvarach. He flees, right? He throws him on the ground and he runs away. V'chol yamav shel oso tzadik. And the rest of the days of Rabbi Tarfon. Hayam mitzta'er al davar zeh. He was in pain of this circumstance that happened. Va'amar, and he says, Oy li, shenishtamashti bekisra shel Torah. Like, oy vey, I used the crown of Torah. Shekol ha-mishtamesh bekisra shel Torah, in lo chelek lo olam haba. Because anybody who uses the crown of Torah does not have a chelek in olam haba. The end. That's the story. So why does Rabbeinu Yonah bring that story? It does two things.
Well, it's an example of him using his kavod in Torah to like be recognized and saved from the situation.
Very good, right? It's an example that we have in the Talmud of this exact thing happening, right? Of somebody, what does it mean, somebody using the Kisra Shel Torah? Well, Rabbi Tarfon gives us an example, right? He used his reputation to save his life. And even that, seems to be problematic. By the way, in parentheses, now that we're on it, the Gemara continues and tells us, and Rabbeinu Yonah brings it. But Amrinan Ali, they say on this story, Mishum de Rabbi Tarfon Asher Gadol Have, V'Have Le Lefaiso Bedamim. He was actually a very rich person, Rabbi Tarfon, and he should have bribed him, right? So it's not that he should have let him kill him and throw him in the river instead of telling him that he's Rabbi Tarfon to save him, right? Okay, so it changes the story from being this drama of he should have been killed to, if he was going to use something to persuade this person, he should have used his money. He should have bribed him. He should not have used his reputation. Right? So again, that actually adds to what Sherry was saying, right? He's using his reputation as opposed to some other tools that he had in his toolbox to save his life. So he was using the Torah. That's an example, and you see that he was upset about it for the rest of his life. So that's an example of exactly what this mission is talking about. Why else is this particular story helpful for Rabbeinu Yonah, so to speak? What else does it, what other information does it provide for Rabbeinu Yonah besides for an exact example like Sherry said? Let me read you the line that gives you the hint. Okay? V'chol yamav shel oso tzadik hayam mitzta'er al davar zeh v'amar. His whole life he was in pain about this, and he said, Oy li shenishtamashi bekishra shel Torah. Oy vey, that I used the crown of Torah. Shekol ha-mishtamesh bekishra shel Torah in lo chelek olam haba. Because anybody who uses the crown of Torah does not have a chelek in olam haba. What's the second piece of information that it gives you? What's the other parallel? Besides for Sherry said, right? It's that very direct parallel of the point. What's the second parallel? It tells you, in lo chelek olam haba. Right? He doesn't have a chelek olam haba. Now we see. So what Rabbeinu Yonah says, no tel chayav min ha'olam, we have this story about exactly this thing. And what is Rabbi Tarfon upset about? Olam haba. So no tel chayav min ha'olam, no tel chayav min olam haba. Okay, good. So that was, again, how Rabbeinu Yonah was using... Whoa, you guys are in the same room? That was like a little... Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
Sorry. No. Pacheva and I are roommates. That's really...
Can I just say something? That's I so noticed, funny. I was like looking at your couches and the air conditioner and the... And the shelf, I'm like, wow, they have like such a similar apartment. Oh my gosh, is that her hair moving?
That is funny. Good job, Bacheva. I was like, what?
And the same pillows. I'm like, okay, this is too much. And then it click, click, click.
That is funny. Okay, so that's Rabbeinu Yonah. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah leave us lacking? So again, what does Rabbeinu Yonah teach us? Ha'olamadita, here we learn, don't use the Torah. Again, right? Don't use exactly like that story of Rabbi Tarfon. Don't use the Torah for a benefit for yourself. Right? Don't use the Torah. Don't use your reputation. Don't use the Torah for yourself, for your kavod, for your mamon. What is Rabbeinu Yonah lacking? Not what's he lacking, right? But what are we missing after if we would just read Rabbeinu Yonah? You're like, I'm not even going to venture to start naming some things in case I get it wrong. I don't want to I don't want to blame Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah is leaving us with like, okay, well, what should we do? Right? Is this only a don't do something? Or is there something here about how I should act, what my attitude should be? Right? So again, that's where we're going to bring in more Mefarshim to give more color to that piece of it. Okay? So we get the Rabbeinu Yonah, don't use it like Rabbi Tarfon, but again, we're trying to get it a little bit more, we need it descending a little bit more into our own lives. So that's what we're gonna keep fleshing out with the other Mefarshim. Okay? Here's where the Vardra Bar Chanura. Okay? Depending on the Mishnayos, different people comment on it. So Sipse Das and Chachma Muster, who are my go-to Muserim, don't comment. So I had to look in more other places to try to get the texture here. Okay? So here's Rav Vardra Bar Chanura. Rav Vardra Bar Chanura, I'm going to read you one sentence. I'm also going to read you one sentence of Rav Hirsch. And we are going to get so much. I'm going to read you one sentence of somebody else. And through those one sentences, we're going to start expanding this all out. Okay? I'm going to read you one sentence of Rav Vardra Bar Chanura. In this one sentence, he adds four things. Four different things in one sentence to what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Changes. I wouldn't say adds. Adds is like a nice word. He changes four different things in our understanding of this Mishnah than Rabbeinu Yonah. See how many you could identify. Ready? Al ta'aseh matara lihis gadol behem. Don't make them into a crown to make yourself great by them. Shelo tarmar. He should not say. Elmod bishvil she'akra rebi. V'yoshi v'ini berosh. I'm going to learn so that they call me Rav. Rabbi so-and-so. Woohoo! And they make me their leader. Ella. Lamod me'ahava. I should learn from love. Out of love. V'sof ha'kavod lovo. And in the end, kavod will come. So you're like, I don't know, I get a sense that he changed something, but I'm not really sure. Okay? According to Rav Vardra Bar Chanura, there's a very different flavor. That was a very different flavor. Tell me any of the four things that you identify. I'm going to read it one more time. Identify any of the four things that he changed. Shelo tomar, you should not say. Elmod bishvil she'akra rabbi v'yoshivini b'rosh. I am going to learn so that they call me rabbi and they make me a leader. Ella, lamud me'ahava. You should learn from ahava. V'sof ha'kavod lavo. And in the end, kavod will come. Who can identify any of those four? What did he change? What did he add? What's different? You know, in like the highlights, they have like two pictures and at first they look the same and you have to find all the things that are different. So that's this. It sort of looks the same, but what are the things
this
that are different?
This is our first one?
No, this is Vardra Bar Chanura.
What's he commenting
Jeff
on?
Jeff makes fun of me when I say that. We call him the Bar Chanura. I just don't know that because I don't linger more. What is he commenting on? He's commenting on Pirkei Avos. He has a parish on Pirkei Avos.
Okay.
It's included in this, this appendium, whatever, with Chochmah Musar and Sifsei Da'as. It's also in our little reproaches, but it's all the way at the end. They have all of Vardra Bar Chanuras at the end. Okay, so it's his parish on this Mishnah. Rav Vardra Bar Chanura, again, is going to be like the Olam Haba kind of esque. He was, let's just give you some history here, right? Rabbeinu Yonah was the end of the 1100s to the mid-1200s. He died in the mid-1200s. Rabbeinu Yonah is, here's a nice trivia question, is cousins with whom? Who was Rabbeinu Yonah cousins with? First cousins, I think.
Ramban.
Very good. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah is cousins with the Ramban, who also was the late 1100s to the 1200s. Rav Vardra Bar Chanura was the 14 to 1500s. Right, and again, for context, Rashi was end of 1000s to beginning of 1100s. Good, so Rav Vardra Bar Chanura, 14 to 1500s. Okay, writes a parish on the Gemara, on the Mishnah and the Gemara, and he has a parish on Pirkei Avos, which is part of the Mishnah. So what, here's what he says. Any of the four. Here we go. Going once. Going twice. Shalom tamar elmo bishvil she'akra rabbi v'yoshivini b'rosh elam lomun me'ahava v'suva kavod lovo. Come on, what does he change?
He says rabbi, like the other one wasn't specific.
Good. Okay, good. So Eliana, I would call it the fifth, right? He gives very specific examples, which are helpful, right? Because it makes it very practical. Don't learn. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about hanas ha-kavod, right? Generally liking kavod, right? Good. Rav Vardra Bar Chanura gives very specific examples. Don't do it for the title and for the leadership position, for a status. Good, Eliana. I would say that's number five. There are still four more. Fine, I'm going to read it like this. Shelo tomar elmod bishvil she'akra rabbi v'yoshivini b'rosh. Ella lamod me'ahava v'sof ha'kavod lavo. Okay, so those are all the other four. guys, this is why we all have to have texts in front of us. Y'all would be able to dissect it if you had a photocopy in front of you, right? Okay. Shalot Tomar, El Mode. The first thing he talks about is that he talks about learning. According to Rabbi Roger Batanora, it seems to be about motivation in learning. Why are you learning Torah? Right? Rabbi Noah doesn't talk about learning Torah. He just talks about using Torah or Torah generally. Rabbi Roger Batanora bounds this by saying learning Torah. Why are you learning Torah? Are you learning Torah so that people think that you're a prestigious guy and you have status? Or are you learning Torah for another reason? That's another thing he does, right? Which is that he defines the way that it should be. Rabbi Nuyona stays in the negative. You should not do this. Rav Avarja Bar Tanora gives us the example of what you should do. What does he say you should do?
Ava.
Right? You should learn motivation. Your motivation for learning should not be status. Your motivation should be learning from Ahava. And what does he do for Kavod? V'sof HaKavod Lava. That's a very different read of Kavod. Because what's he saying? On the scale of good, bad, and neutral, where is Kavod? According to...
It's fine because you're not doing it for the Kavod, but the Kavod just happens.
Good, Sherry, right? Naturally. He redefines Kavod. Kavod for him is not bad. It just should not be your motivation. That's how he's reading it. It's not that you don't like Kavod. It's that Kavod should not be your motivation in learning. Ahava should be your motivation in learning. And Kavod will happen. Which is interesting, right? Because Rav Yonah is like, Hanas Kavod! It's about Kavod, right? It seems like Kavod itself on the good, bad, or neutral scale is somewhere between neutral and bad. According to Rav Avadja Bar Tanora, it's somewhere between neutral and good. What's a support for Rav Avadja Bar Tanora? If you had your books in front of you, I would tell you. The next Mishnah is about Kavod. We actually have a bunch of Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos that are about Kavod. And they're mostly in this theme, right? You should not chase Kavod, but Kavod is fine. Kavod will find you. And that's a positive thing. Kavod will find you being a positive thing. Not that you have to run away from Kavod at every instance and you should never have it and you should, cry if you get it in any way, right? So that's not what he's doing. Okay. Okay, we did all four of them, actually, okay? I numbered them incorrectly. I was like, what was the other one? Okay, it's about learning. He adds that what you should do. He talks about Ahava versus Kavod, which I guess those two we put together, and that Kavod is not bad, right? So in that one sentence, he really kind of broadened the scope, okay? And then he goes on in his parish, which we're not going to learn. It's very long. But he goes on to talk about some of the practical ramifications of this, right? If you're a Rebbe and a Beis Sefer, can you charge? Can you not? Are you charging for your time? Are you charging for watching the children? If you're a Rebbe, if you're like a Rav in a community, can you charge? Can you not charge? Are people supposed to pay you? Are they not supposed to pay you? And it's actually really interesting, but we're not going to go into it. But again, there are very practical, if you're a judge, if you're a Dayan, what are you charging for? Are you charging for passing judgment? Are you charging for the time that it takes you? Like, what happens if you are motivated by the wrong thing and you take more than what you're worth, then your din actually doesn't matter. It's like really interesting, right? Like the dynamics of payment for something that's ethical practice. I've actually, again, talking about my coaching course, which I'm doing right now. So I have a lot of practical examples in the back of my head, but I'm in the middle of a very long debate with everybody about charging for coaching and which parts of that are not ethical. Right? So when I was reading this, I was like, this is my point. Like, it's an ethical question. If you're doing something that's a service to other people that in itself could be like a mitzvah in some capacity, if you're allowed to charge them or not, and how much you charge and what motivates how much you charge or how much you get paid, right? Those are parts of the practical output of this Mishnah. So again, very interesting. Anyone who wants to talk to me about it, I can tell you a little bit about what he says. Okay, good. So let's go to Rav Hirsch, okay? Rav Hirsch, we're still looking for Rav Hirsch, because we're always looking for Rav Hirsch, okay? Here's what Rav Hirsch says. I'm going to read it to you. It's also just basically one line, and I want you also to tell me what he does. Rav Hirsch is going to be focusing, without telling you, but this is what he's doing, he's going to be focusing on the metaphors of this Mishnah. And we have to talk about it. The Mishnah presents how many metaphors up front? Rabbi Tzedok, ready? Rabbi Tzedok Omer. Al divra, just kidding. Rabbi Tzedok Omer, al ta'asim atara lihizgadol bahem, v'lo kardorm lachbo bahem, v'chach hayash helel omer di shamash besaga chalav, halamadata kol anetanem b'divar Torah nota chayav min ha'olam. How many metaphors are there in this Mishnah? What are the main metaphors? Two. Good, Sherry. What are they?
Crown and the shovel.
Crown and the shovel. Good. Okay, here we go. Do not debase the wisdom of the word of God. It's around two sentences long. Do not debase the wisdom of the word of God to use it as a tool for self-aggrandizement, that's the word, or selfish gain. The sacred wisdom is a crown of which it is written, Ki hu chayechan, the word of God is your very life. He who debases the Torah violates it and therefore brings about his own destruction. V'chachaya shehelo omer, etc. You're like, I didn't. I was in English, but no. Okay? Here's the question. Rav Hirsch is pointing out, and until I read Rav Hirsch, I did not realize this. Which, I'm going to read you Rav Hirsch again. Which metaphor from the Mishnah does Rav Hirsch challenge? Do not debase the wisdom of the word of God to use it as a tool for self-aggrandizement or selfish gain. What is he talking about when he says the tool? Which of the metaphors?
The shovel.
Good, the shovel, okay. So is this in line with what the Mishnah is saying? Do not use the Torah as a shovel for your own gain. Yes or no? Yes.
Yes.
Good. Here we go. So that was a hint. The sacred wisdom is a crown of which it is written, Kuhu Chayechem. The word of God is your very life. What does Rav Hirsch do there? The word of God is a crown upon which it is written, Kihu Chayechem. Is that or according to the Mishnah? Al ta'aseh mas atara lihizkad alahem. Don't make them into a crown.
It's deviating from the Mishnah.
Why?
Because he's saying that using the Torah as a crown isn't like necessarily a bad thing. Like maybe he's saying that like Torah is something we should be proud of, and that will kind of...
Good, fair, good. So until he said this, I never really looked at the metaphors. According to the Mishnah, what we first think is that there are two metaphors that the Torah is not. The Torah is not a crown for you, and the Torah is not a shovel for you. That is not true. The Mishnah itself is self-contradictory. If we only had Rav Tzadok, that's what we would think. Excuse me, the Torah is not a crown for you, and the Torah is not a shovel for you. But that's not what we say, because then who do we bring in? Hillel. And what does Hillel do with that mashal, with that metaphor of the crown? He calls Torah a crown. So we say the Torah is not a crown. The Torah is not a shovel. The Torah is a crown. And until we do that, I didn't realize that. We use the crown, mashal, to say the Torah is not it, and the Torah is it. Go, Bajeva.
Well, just why is the Rav Hirsch adding that here? If in this context, it's saying it very clearly that it's negative.
Except that it brings Hillel. And what does Hillel say? The ishtamesh basaga. If you use the crown, chalaf. Someone who uses the crown passes away. What's the assumption behind Hillel? Is there a crown? Yes. So it's interesting. It's different. The crown mashal is very different from the shovel mashal. The Torah is not a tool for you to use. It is not a shovel for you to dig. It is a crown. But you know what it isn't? It isn't a crown for you to use. According to Rav Hirsch, it's a crown. And what does the crown say? On the crown says, I am not a crown, I am your life. That's what Rav Hirsch says. And until I read that, it like... open up the Mishnah for you. It's not telling you the Torah is not a crown. The Torah certainly is a crown, but it's a crown that is not a crown. It is a crown that is your life. And if you use the Torah as a crown and not as your life, you are misusing Torah. And therefore, what happens? What's the very natural piece? No tel chayav mina olam. He doesn't go to Olam Haba. I mean, he doesn't go to Olam Haba. Rav Hirsch does not say necessarily, you could probably read it both ways, that chayav is your life in Olam Haba. He doesn't have to say that. He's saying, you are misusing your life in this world. The Torah is a crown for you, that if you use it as a crown for you, it ceases to be a crown, and you've destroyed your life. Because what is the Torah? And here we go to Reuven Balka, who's safer, I really love and recommend. I actually got it from my sister-in-law, who is not from, but got it on one of these programs from, I don't know from who, and I love it. So it's great. I recommend it. I had to get it off of like Amazon from like one of these sellers. But if you could find it, you should get it.
Which one?
It's Rav Reuven Balka's parish on Pirkei Avos.
He's my cousin's grandfather.
No way.
He's actually very sick right now. So the learning could be for his
referral.
He's here. He's in New York now.
Can you give me his like email address or something?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my cousin... he runs his email now, so sure.
Okay, can you please give me like contact information? I would love to tell him that I'm learning his Sefer and really, really, really love it. That's awesome. Okay, wow. Thank you for telling me that. I love this small Jewish world. Okay, ready? Here's where he goes. And he, again, he brings it down like, bam, right into us. Whew. Okay, it should not be for self-aggrandizement or a spade, like a shovel, within it wherein to dig, as per the statement of Hillel. The individual who reaps personal profit from the words of Torah takes one's own life from the world. Again, right? He's an Acharon. He's staying very grounded. We're not talking necessarily about life in Olam Haba. We might also be talking about life in Olam Haba, but it works just as well in life in Olam Hazeh, right? If you use the word of Torah, you take away your own life. What does that mean? What does that mean? Takes away the life fulfillment which is available through Torah by making it a means for profit, a tool, rather than a life orientation. You're using the crown as a crown. You're not using the crown as your life. And if you don't use the crown as your life, chaval for your life. Chaval for your life. You missed the richness that your life could have had by trying to become rich through using the crown. And you miss, therefore, the richness that the crown would have given you had you used it not as a crown, but as your life. Such an individual strips the Torah of its beauty and thus denies the self the real opportunity for meaningful expression. Your life loses out because the Torah was given you for your life. The Torah is a crown that says, "Ki hu chayecha," because I am not a crown, I am your life. And if you use it for your own personal means, you lose what it would have given you otherwise. One of the best like practical ways to explain this, which is very just like straight. I have a teacher, Mrs. Tendler. I had a teacher. I was very close to her at some point when I was in Chonabet. And she said to me at some point, you know, I wonder what life would be like where if instead of looking at the Torah, and I've repeated this many times, you probably heard me say it before, but if instead of looking at the Torah and trying to figure out how Torah says what we want it to say, instead we actually listened to what the Torah was trying to tell us. Right? And I never forgot that. It really changed my perspective in many times, right? There are many times where I want to give a Dvar Torah about a certain thing because that's inspiring to me or that's what I'm looking for. And I like try to look through the parsha to try to find it, you know? And it's like, that's not the right way to learn. And every time I do, I try to catch myself and be like, that's not. What happens if you learn the Torah and you try to listen to what it's telling you instead of trying to make it say what you want it to say? Right? That's using the Torah as your life orientation.